Welcome to the Battle Ready Sermon Podcast with Captain Rob Westwood Payne.
So we meet together on this first Advent Sunday. And as I said at the beginning of the meeting, as we do so, we can be forgiven for looking at the world and its problems and feeling rather helpless. Nation is clashing against nation in different parts of the world. Peoples are pitched against their neighbours in conflict. Death dealing is all around us. And we can be forgiven sometimes for sitting looking at our news or reading our newspapers and saying we do indeed live in a land of deep darkness. And there is often despair about what we can do about those situations in the world that make the world seem dark. In fact, I've had conversations with very wise Christians in the last few weeks who have looked at what's been going on in our news, particularly the conflict between Israel and Hamas, and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know the best thing to do. I don't know the best way to go. I don't know how to deal with what I'm seeing on my news reports and reading in my newspapers. And into this darkness come the politicians. I'm not going to turn this into a political discourse, but they come with their five pledges, or the we're completely different to the other lot, so if you throw them out and we come in, then we'll change everything overnight. They come with all of those sorts of promises and pleading with us to give them a chance because they have the answer to everything. But if you're a little bit wise, you realise that across the world, not just this country, but across the world, not one party or one politician has all the answers to the darkness that there is in our world. And so in many ways, our societies have turned against the political class for that reason. They've told us they have all the answers, and then we discover that they don't. And sometimes we can look at our world and see that it is so dark that we wonder if God is really aware of what's going on in the world. Surely if he was aware of what was going on in Ukraine, surely if he was aware of what was going on in Israel and what's going on now in Gaza, then surely he would do something. Surely he would intervene. Maybe he can't do anything. We sometimes wonder. The people who first heard Isaiah's prophecy that we listened to earlier from Isaiah chapter 9 would have understood how perhaps we feel in this day. They had a monarch, a king who was unfaithful to God. This king, this politician, had very short-sighted defensive policies. King Ahaz had refused to follow God's instructions. In the northern half of Israel, in the northern half of the kingdom, they had been defeated in battle by Assyria and carried off into exile. And now it appears that they were in cahoots with the Assyrians to take over the southern half of the kingdom, Jerusalem and Judah. And it looked as though that half of the nation was going to suffer the same fate, that they would be carried off into exile and their homes and the temple and everything else destroyed. And into the midst of this darkness, the prophet Isaiah comes and sounds this note of hope. Verse 2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." That's a message of hope for the people in Judah and Jerusalem, and it's a message of hope for us today. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. God, through this coming king that Isaiah is prophesying about, would shine the light of his own delivering power. We may well be, says the prophet Isaiah, groping in the darkness. We may well be sitting in the shadow of death, but a light will appear. There is light at the end of the tunnel, as we might say, in these days. Sin and rebellion and everything else are not enough to stop God from keeping his promises. Let me say that again, because that's a message for us today, as well as it is for any other time. Sin and rebellion are not enough to stop God from keeping his promises. Whenever we find ourselves wondering as we watch the news or read our newspapers, where is God in this? Is God aware of it? Human beings' sin and rebellion against him are not enough to stop God from keeping his promises. What's amazing is what God's answer is to all of this. God doesn't answer the bully by becoming the bigger bully. He could do, he has the power to do that, but he chooses not to answer the bully by becoming the bigger bully. God chooses to answer the sin and rebellion of human beings not by becoming more arrogant or more warlike, or by becoming more oppressive or more coercive. The answer to our sin and rebellion and the darkness that human beings sometimes find themselves in is a little child, a little baby. The answer to all of the world's sin and rebellion is Jesus, a tiny, dependent child. A child who's vulnerable, a child who is transparent and humble. What a weird way to deal with the world's sin and rebellion. Surely a warrior to come and put us all in our places would be much better. But God chooses to send a tiny, vulnerable child. But what Isaiah goes on to say is who this child is. And he gives him four names. And if you know anything about the Christmas story, you will have heard these four names before. Actually, if you like Handel's Messiah, you're probably singing in your head just now. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And there is something for each one of us in those four names, which we will look at in the coming weeks. And so Isaiah says, this child who is coming, this child who will bring the light, God's light, into the darkness, is our wonderful counselor. Now that word wonderful in Hebrew is pele. Okay, can you, not the footballer, not him, but the Hebrew word is pele, and it gives us, we don't really have another word for it in English, but if you look through the Bible where this word pele and its root is used, it is only almost always exclusively used for God. It's exclusively used for things that only God can do. So perhaps the nearest word that we would have for it in English is that it's supernatural. So God, this baby is going to be a wonderful counselor. The counseling that he brings, the wisdom that he brings will be wonderful. It will be supernatural. It will be something that only God can bring to us. It's wisdom and understanding that is beyond our human understanding, beyond our human capability. And when you stop to think about it, Jesus is indeed wonderful. There are many wonderful things about Jesus. And I don't just mean wonderful in terms of how we normally think of wonderful, but there are many supernatural things that we know about Jesus. He was born of a virgin. That's supernatural. The only way to explain that is that it's supernatural. He was born with the power to heal. When he grew up and he started his ministry, he was able to heal people and cast out demons. The only way that you can explain those things is that they are supernatural. He was an amazing teacher. If you want to know how to live your life in a way that God is God-honoring, then look at the life that Jesus led. And the only way that he could do that, The only way he could be sinless, the only way that he could be pure, is for that life to be supernatural, to be wonderful. He lived the perfect life, and then after his death, he was resurrected from the dead. Again, that can only be supernatural. This tiny child is wonderful, Pele, supernatural, beyond our human understanding. And then when you link that word wonderful with the word counselor, it denotes that this child, this coming child, would instruct with wisdom that can only come from God. Wisdom that is beyond our understanding. And if you think about anything that you can remember that Jesus taught while he was on earth, you will very quickly learn there is something supernatural about his teaching. Jesus says, God blesses those who mourn. That's beyond human understanding. How could God bless people who mourn? Mourning isn't a blessing. There must be something beyond our human understanding about God blessing those who mourn. Jesus said, God blesses us when people mock us for our faith. I don't know about you, but if anybody's ever mocked you for your faith, I don't feel particularly blessed. Again, that's wisdom that is beyond our understanding, that only the Holy Spirit in our lives can help us try to understand. Jesus said, love your enemies. Anybody have human wisdom enough to love your enemies? Put your hands up. No one. That's wisdom that's beyond our understanding. It's something that we can only do with God's power in our lives. And yet that's what Jesus taught. Do good to those who hate you. Beyond our understanding again. Only God can help us to do that. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, said these words, in him, in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want supernatural wisdom in your life, either to understand a little of what's going on in this dark world, or to understand what's going on in your own life, then Jesus is where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. And so as we commence this season of Advent in 2023, we acknowledge once again that this world needs the kind of wonderful counselor that Isaiah prophesied about. And we can take this opportunity of waiting and the expectancy of the coming Christ at Christmas to ensure that we're captivated by him once again. That we take the time to look at Jesus and be captivated by his charm, by his insight, by his comfort, and by his counsel, by his wisdom. We can take the time in this Advent season to acknowledge once again that he is our creator and he is our savior, that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies and all the New Testament teachings, and that his wisdom can be found in the Word of God. And we can take time in this Advent time, even though it's very busy, to spend time learning more of his wisdom from his word. We can acknowledge once again this morning that our wonderful counselor helps us with all our problems. That it's our wonderful counselor who provides us with security. That it's our wonderful counselor who provides us with satisfaction and enjoyment in our lives. That he helps us far beyond our capability to understand how he helps us. That he helps us far beyond our own limitations. Again, in several conversations over the last few weeks, I've heard people say, I don't know how they deal with difficult situations, how people deal with difficult situations if they don't have a Christian faith. That's a sign, that's a kind of an understanding on our behalf that there are just some things in life that we cannot deal with and we cannot understand unless we have Jesus' power in our lives. Something that is beyond our human limitations. And so the next time that we switch on the news, and for your own mental health, I would just suggest to you only watch it once a day. Okay, you can watch it running every 15 minutes. You'll be very depressed by the end of the day. Just watch it once a day. That's my little mental health tip for today. But when you watch the news or you read your newspaper, instead of wringing your hands and feeling helpless and saying, what can I do about this? What we can do, as I know many of you do, is to pray. To pray with expectant hope that this child that Isaiah prophesies about will come once again this Christmas, and that people around the world will turn to his wisdom. We can pray that the warmongers, the terrorists, our world leaders, the political class across the world, the economists, everybody, will soon be blinking into the light of our wonderful counselor. We may feel this morning as if the world has no hope, no light. But Isaiah prophesies once again into our situation this morning. A light will shine out of the darkness, and he will be our wonderful counselor. As part of our reflection this morning, I have some purple ribbon. So I'm just going to ask to be passed round the rows. And when you get this piece of purple ribbon, I'm going to suggest to you that you tie it to your wrist. Or, if you're cack-handed like me, get your neighbour to tie it to your wrist. That may be easier. And then whenever, over the next few weeks, as we travel through Advent together, you look at the news, or maybe into your own situation, your own personal situation, and you begin to feel hopeless and helpless, just take a look at the purple ribbon on your wrist. When you're watching the news, just be reminded of what we've talked about this morning. When you're feeling stressed and burned out, as some of us get to when we're so busy through this Christmas season, have a look at the purple ribbon on your wrist. When you're worried about yourself, maybe your health, or something else that's going on in your life, or when you're worried about someone else, just have a look at the purple ribbon on your wrist. Remind yourself through this purple ribbon to simply slow down and pray and prepare for the coming of our wonderful counselor with the expectant hope that Isaiah gives us. As the ribbons are passed around, we're going to listen to a beautiful song, "The Light Came Out of Darkness." But before we listen to that song, let's just pray together for a moment. Lord, our wonderful counselor, we ask that during this Advent season you will help us to slow down to your rhythm, to prepare for the anniversary of your arrival quietly and expectantly. Give us a sense of hope for our world and for our lives. A sense of peace that you hold each one of us in your hands. A sense of just how much you love us. And a sense of joy at the plans you have for us and for this world. And in your precious name, we pray these prayers. Amen. Amen.
If you would like to subscribe to Battle Ready Sermons wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, or if you'd like to receive them direct to your inbox, head to www.equippinghispeople.com/sermons and follow the instructions.